Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna tell you a little bedtime tale, legend it will become. Burgers flying out the door, sail on. 2-for-1, no concern for the future, living for today. Fast food bite on your way, lay it all to waste. The masses are afflicted now. Moo, mad cow, mad cow. Mad cow line dance song.
Hey, Shanghai Nation, welcome to the show. QT and Shanghai with you here as normal. Real quick, before we jump into some things, some show notes. If you're looking for wrestling today, you have WCWO in Indianapolis, Indiana. 3-2-1 battle happening in Seattle, Washington. And Championship Wrestling USA in Henderson, Tennessee, featuring Doug Gilbert tonight. Tomorrow, HPW back at the HPW Arena in Columbus, Indiana. Emerge Wrestling having an all-female show tomorrow in Columbus. MSWA in Rockwood, Tennessee. ICW in Marion, Indiana, featuring the ICW Hall of Fame induction of Troy Miller. And Big Time Pro Wrestling happening in Wayne, West Virginia tomorrow. So, looks like there's a lot of wrestling out there. Get out there, support anything near you. Go support your local wrestlers, buy some merchandise, enjoy a good show. QT, lots of options, it sounds like.
There is a lot of options this week, Shanghai. And unfortunately, one person that will not be there, he went on to that wrestling ring in the sky. I'm sad to announce that Rip Oliver has passed away. Could we take a moment to have a 10 bill for one of Northwest great Rip Oliver?
Absolutely, we can. I was going to do it at the end, but we can do it now.
Okay.
Well, fans, if you're unfamiliar with Rip Oliver, he was a very, very central figure here in the Pacific Northwest. Wrestled for Don Owens, Portland Wrestling for many years. Was one of the members of the faction known as the Clan. Rip Oliver sadly passed this week after being put into hospice. So we will toll the bell in honor of Rip Oliver. QT, of course, we lost Rip Oliver this week. I know you are a huge fan of Don Owens era Portland wrestling. Did you have a favorite Rip Oliver match or a Rip Oliver moment?
I think one that stands out in my mind was he was in the wrestling ring setting up an arm wrestling contest. He was in a logger type outfit. One of the logging was very full born, and that's not a Tony Bourne reference. It was going full bore at that time in the Northwest. A big part of the economy was tied to logging, and Rip Oliver tied into that. He was very close to the logging community. He was in the ring with his logging outfit and his logging suspenders, and he was setting up a wrestling match. An arm wrestling match, and the other team was very confident that their guy could pin anyone that Rip Oliver brought forth as his representation in this arm wrestling tournament. And lo and behold, a mysterious figure appeared for the Rip Oliver team. And he was clad in a very concealing cloak, head cloak. Little did they know that this was Billy Jack Haynes. So Rip Oliver, the crafty veteran that he was, well, not really a veteran at that time. Well, it was kind of a veteran. Well, not. I don't know. I'm not going to quibble. But Rip Oliver, ever thinking ahead with his scientific mind, had recruited Billy Jack Haynes on his arm wrestling team. And how scientific and street smart was that? I'm going to try to look up this video and forward it to you and Mindy Easton. Mindy Easton, this Rip Oliver arm wrestling contest, of which he was team captain. Yes, a seminal moment in Rip Oliver folklore.
Well, Rip Oliver, of course, legendary here in the Pacific Northwest. He didn't travel a huge amount. I believe he wrestled very, very briefly in the WWF under a mask as the Ninja, but outside of that, didn't really travel extensively. But fans here in the Northwest that were around in the Don Owens era definitely remember Crippler Rip Oliver. I believe, QT, that Rip Oliver's stretcher that he would use to haul off opponents that he had beaten actually in the possession of retired Pacific Northwest wrestler Wade By God Hess.
Wow. Now, how much, Sun Guy, in your opinion, would a signed Rip Oliver stretcher go for on eBay if Wade Hess decided to sell it?
That I'm not sure. From what I have learned, it unfortunately had been not taken very well care of by the previous owners. Wade Hess, to my understanding, actually came across it at a thrift store and purchased it from the thrift store. But whoever had it did not take very good care of it, so it's not in the greatest of condition. But still, to have the actual stretcher that Rip Oliver used on Portland Wrestling, I'm sure it'd be worth quite a bit to a collector.
Well, Sun Guy, when I was in the Coast Guard, we would have these damage control drills. And as part of the damage control teams, I was part of the stretcher bearers. We would train if there was a simulated mass casualty. If our ship came under attack, I'd have to be part of the stretcher-bearing crew. And part of the stretcher that I would man was a brand called the Neil Roberts stretcher. It was made of like a thick bamboo wrapped in green canvas, kind of like a green army canvas, with a neck brace. Those things can deteriorate over time. I wonder if Rip Oliver's stretcher was kind of like green canvas stretched over bamboo or another softwood. That's a good question.
Yes, that's essentially what it was.
Well, maybe we could talk to Wade By God Hess if he is still in possession of the stretcher and bring it to a show during intermission. During a Northwest match. That'd be kind of interesting. I would think that Rip Oliver's name is somewhere on that stretcher. It would have to be.
That I don't know for sure, but hopefully Wade Hess will eventually bring that around to different shows and allow the fans to see the original Rip Oliver stretcher. I'm sure a lot of the longtime fans would be very interested in that.
Okay, all right. Well, sign, another thing that Northwest wrestlers might be interested in is finally the Northwest wrestler rankings, after a slight delay, was put out on the Facebook page of Mindy Easton. You can find it on her Facebook page, or as we better know her, Sunny Days. Quite a shocking ranking, because you yourself were not ranked in the original rankings and had to be emergency inserted. And some people, I'm now getting feedback from like Lance Dean and Y period T period Jones, were slightly shocked at your what they think is a low ranking. Number 3 3/4, but you yourself got the pin on Dave Turner. Can you tell our Turnbuckle Turmoil fans why you may have been ranked at number 3 3/4 despite a pin win over Dave Turner?
I think it was some sort of conspiracy. Clearly, I deserve number 1 3/4 at the very lowest. I pinned Dave Turner. He's a former Solid Steel champion at 3-2-1. And look what you did. You put me sandwiched between two guys. Whom did they ever beat?
Well, yes, 3 3/4. That is, you know, I'm not sure. I mean, I guess, as you know, rankings can fluctuate greatly from week to week. You could soar in to the number 1.5 position next week, seeing how these rankings were published yesterday at night. In a space of four or five days, like on a Monday, you could find yourself almost ranked number 1.
Would I have to beat Dave Turner again?
You might have to, yes.
All right. I beat him once. How hard can it be?
Well, pretty hard. I mean, put it this way, sign guy. You were above the honorable mention USS Cole. That's quite an honor. USS Cole.
Was that a Michael Cole reference?
Well, Michael Cole, one of my favorite announcers of all time. Just short of the talent of Jeremy Borash. Yes.
Now, I believe Jeremy Borash actually works with WWE now in a producer role. Am I correct in that?
Whoa. Wow. I'm going to have to look that up. That'd be a very prestigious, I'd say, job billet for him, Jeremy Borash. Yes. I just think all that talking on the microphone kind of, affected his throat a little. Rumor has it that Jeremy Borash drank huge amounts of hot tea and lemon to soothe his throat. Yes.
I would not be shocked at that, actually.
Well, now, sign guy, I realize that these rankings do facilitate, that's a good one, a lot of controversy. However, you were ranked higher than Lasso Garibay at number 6. That's quite a high honor, Lasso Garibay.
That is. And I don't know if you saw this or not, but Lasso Garibay will be on his way to IWA Mid-South in Jeffersonville, Indiana next month as he takes part in the IWA tryout.
Whoa. Wow. Holy smokes. Now, son guy, you and I saw Lasso Garibay when he was starting out in the Northwest. Do you think he has gained a little bit of weight in like the 7 years since we saw him? It's been about 7 years.
I believe longer than that since he started out, but he is doing extremely well there in Boise for Idaho Wrestle Club.
Do you agree that the Lasso Garibay matches up most physically with has the most similarity in physical matchup and Matt attack with Dave Hollenbeck? I look at those two and I almost see a mirror image.
They have different styles, but that'd be a different type of match for sure. I think they would actually mesh fairly well should they ever meet in the ring. I don't think that they ever have.
That would be an interesting matchup. The only thing that Dave Hollenbeck has community-wise and community, commitment, is that he, Lasso Garibay has never led a marching band out to the ring like Dave Hollenbeck has at Washington High School.
Can you confirm that?
I can pretty much confirm that. Dave Hollenbeck spends many hours at his dojo, our training center, MMA training center. I don't think they have ever allowed a high school marching band to be in back of Dave Hollenbeck as he comes out to his MMA training facility. I don't think they would allow that in there.
Well, I know that Garibay also has MMA experience. He is trained at MMA dojos as well. I don't know that he ever had a marching band take him to the ring, though.
Okay, all right. It's clearly evident to me that I'm going to have to look up and contact Lasso Garibay and see if he has ever had a marching band march him to the mats.
That would be huge.
Yeah, I look forward to that. Yes. Okay. Well, now, Sign, what about Spud Brother of Big John making the rankings at number 8? Not so bad. Number 8.
Not so bad, but imagine if this is a catalyst for the Spud Brothers, Big John and Bronco Billy, to start not getting along. Maybe they're jealous of each other's rankings, and you've caused a chasm to develop between these two brothers.
Well, now, I'm not going to say that this would be out of the possibility. However, that video that you sent me of Big John and Bronco there, well, they were extremely busy on their farm, you know, with Bernadette the chicken, even finding her, and running miles to the actual venue that didn't even have the match until 2 weeks later. I think they're kind of in a repeat mode of that. You know, I'm sure that potato planting is just around the corner, and I'm going to guess that they have seen the rankings this week but are too busy right in front of potato planting season and taking care of Bernadette.
Do you think that Bernadette ever helps them plant potatoes?
I think she pecks their beak into the soil, yes. I think she contributes, yes.
Well, I can see that. QT, if Bernadette were to ever visit you, what would you feed Bernadette? And would you, in fact, have her help you plant some potatoes in one of those community gardens?
Whoa, maybe a Seattle community garden, yes. I'm not sure if there are any Tacoma community gardens around here. I'm pretty sure there's some in Seattle near the free libraries, aren't there?
Well, yeah. In fact, I believe a couple of the little free libraries are, in fact, the grounds of some of the community gardens.
Okay, well, then I will try to contact maybe Big John, see if I can have Bernadette for a week and see exactly how much topsoil she does uproot with her beak or talons and beak. This would be very scientific. Of course, we would keep Bernadette on your porch, your apartment porch, in a wire cage.
Now, why would you feed it? Serve as a beverage to Bernadette.
I'm going to say crystal clear water, hopefully mountain sprung, or from the snows of Snoqualmie Pass, melted snow water from Snoqualmie Pass. And I might bring some cornmeal. Don't roosters feed on cornmeal?
Well, they would if that's what you served, I'm sure.
Boy, I've got a lot of research to do on what exactly Northwest chickens eat. Definitely Snoqualmie, snow melt water. I will go up there and get the water myself after contacting Big John. Yes. I'll go half and half with you on a mesh cage that we will put on your patio for Bernadette.
On mine, I thought she was visiting yours.
Well, mine is kind of cramped. I'll tell you what. Trial run. I'll take her for the first 3 days, and then you can have the honor of like the next 4 days.
All right.
Three and four.
Are you going to at least cover the cost of the cornmeal?
Oh yeah, yeah. I'll sprinkle the cornmeal. Yes.
QT, I believe you also came into possession of a book from the Little Free Library very recently. Is this correct?
Yes, I came into that. It's published by Graham Swift, and I guess Graham Swift also wrote a book called The Waterland. This book is called Last Orders, and it has a gold seal on it, winner of the Booker Prize. Huh, Booker. Somehow I think I've heard that name before, Booker. I'm not sure where. It'll come to me, Booker. Okay. Anyway,
okay.
Yeah, it looks like a good book. Yes.
Now, QT, could you read some of that book, starting with page 47?
Yes, I think our fans would welcome that, especially since they've heard the last minute of chicken coops and cornmeal. I think they'd welcome that, yes. All right, you want page 47. All right, I'll try to find this out here. I have the book in hand. Let's see, 47.
Two.
Yeah, you got this from the free library, yes. Okay. Let's see. Okay, I got it. It is in a chapter called Dartford. Okay, 47. Do you want me to read from the top?
That would be huge.
No, okay. Here we go. Lenny says, "Daughters, who'd have 'em? We're coming up to the M25 junction. The traffic's busy." Lenny looks at me. He says, "You hear much from your Susie these days?" I say, "Odd letter." He says, "You'd reckon she'd come if you was... I mean, do you think she'd show up?" Vic says, "What a question." Lenny says, "It's a fair one." I say, "I ain't thought about it, but I have." Lenny says, "It's a fair question." Vic says, "Jack would have reckoned on us taking a break for lunch." Vince looks at him. Wait a second now. Vince and Booker. Some familiar names are popping up. Vince, okay. All right, anyway. Lenny says, "And how's your brood, Vic? I reckon you did the right thing. Get yourself a couple of sons, set them up in the firm so you can bow out easy, passing on the torch, all that." Vic says, "Can't complain." Lenny says, "Tucker and Sons sounds all right, don't it, Vince?" Vince doesn't answer. "Don't it, Vince?" Vince says, all fierce and hissy, "I'm here. I came." He moves out to overtake a truck. Lenny says, "Daughters, the sky's clear and blue and clean with just a few wisps of cloud. There's a breeze stirring the trees at the side of the road. The sign says, Seven Oaks, Dartford Tunnel. We're clear of London, but the view either side can't make up its mind whether it's town or country. It's like we're traveling, but it's all the same place." I say, "That box must be getting heavy, Vic. You want to pass it back here?" That was page 47.
That was huge. Now, QT, is there a picture on the cover of the book?
Yes, there is.
Well, I think that the fans would want to know your detailed analysis of the picture on said book.
Well, there are four beach-type chairs, and there are four people sitting on them, and they are overlooking a place that kind of reminds me of Edmonds, the pier in Edmonds, how the pier juts out into the water. However, if you look closely, this could be San Francisco, because there appears to be an island in the distance that looks like Alcatraz. And you know that tower they have at Alcatraz? I believe the armed guards used to climb there. This island does look like Alcatraz and that tower. I'm pretty familiar with that because I used to sail past it. And Clint Eastwood made a movie, Escape from Alcatraz, on there, on Alcatraz. So the book looks like, it kind of looks like Edmonds, and it kind of looks like San Francisco Bay.
Have you ever swam in San Francisco Bay?
No, but I know a person that has, while towing, I believe it was 25 rowboats behind him. I'm talking about fitness expert Jack LaLanne. He did that. And I think there is some video on YouTube of Jack LaLanne swimming in San Francisco Bay. At this time, sign guy, are you privileged to look up YouTube videos while I keep talking to our audience? Are
sure.
you privileged? Can you look up Jack LaLanne in San Francisco Bay if there is such a video?
I'll see if there is such a video while I look this up. Maybe you could hum a few bars of the Battle Hymn of the Republic.
No, I won't. I don't think I'll hum, but however, I will turn the page and read from page 48 as a substitute while you look up. Oh, okay. Lenny says, so when you going to put yourself out to grass, Vic, when you going to let them boys take over? I look at Lenny. I think, don't quit yet. Vic, there's the two of us. Vic says, no rush. There's a few customers I should stick around for yet. I can't see Vic's face, but he isn't chuckling, and he hasn't turned around and winked. And the lads aren't kicking me out yet. You hungry, Lenny? I'm thirsty. Vince says, you could swan it, Vic. You could do better than Margette. What is swan it? Must be a British term. Anyway, Lenny says, big boy here is aiming at the Bahamas. Vic says, as best part of the grand a throw. What the heck does that mean? At best part of a grand a throw. Is that Scottish? Ah, well, anyway. Lenny says, Jack costs that? Joan better start saving. Vin says, that's what I guess. Vic's keeping quiet. Lenny says, you ain't picking up the tab, big boy. I say, so you want to pass him over here, Vic? Vic says, sorry, Ray Say, like he'd forgotten. You want to hold him for a bit then? He turns and smiles gently as if he doesn't want to upset any feelings. Then he says, still, Vic, if you ever pegged out on the job, it'd be handy. Boy, oh boy. I got to tell you, this book is replete with English terms. What is pegged out on the job? What is that, or as best part of a grand a throw? You know, sign, maybe this cover of this book was in English setting. Maybe they are on the seas of Portsmouth. You know, I don't think that this book is set in United States at all, but except it is in an English setting. Listen to this back page of the back of the book. Four men, friends, most of them, for half a lifetime, gather in a London pub. They had taken it upon themselves to carry out the last orders of Jack Dodds, master butcher, and deliver his ashes to the sea. As they drive towards the fulfillment of their mission, their errand becomes an extraordinary journey into the collective and individual past. Okay, so let me see now. Graham Swift creates a testament to a changing England and to enduring morality. Well, it was set in England. Wow, all right. Okay, so I'm going to tell all our Turnbuckle Turmoil fans that my hunch that the cover that shows four people in the chairs looking at what I thought was Alcatraz may have been indeed Brighton by the Sea in England, Brighton.
Well, I could not find any videos of Jack LaLanne swimming in San Francisco Bay. There's several of them swimming in other places. I will now check to see if I can find one of Jack LaLanne swimming in Brighton on the Sea.
Oh, okay. Well, I look forward to that.
Aang fans will be riveted.
Yes.
Let's see. Doesn't look to be. Still several videos of Jack Lalonde swimming and various other people swimming in Brighton on the sea, but none of Jack Lalonde swimming in Brighton on the sea.
Oh, boy, okay. Are there any videos out there of Jack Lalonde doing push-ups? Because it's rumored that he could do 70 push-ups at the age of 70. Any in his push-ups?
Now, there were some push-up videos, yes.
Well, okay. All right. Very good. All right. Well, Sign Guy, a lot of events happened at the Blue Collar Wrestling this past Sunday. It was a standing room only crowd. Can you tell us a little bit about the action that went down at Blue Collar Wrestling, some of which involved one of my favorite wrestlers, Tommy Celsius? Can you give us a slight overview of what happened?
I can tell you a little bit. I know that the Cool Heels were in action. I know that Zach Winters defeated Matt Traeger in defense of the No Limits title, and then he actually challenged Mac Traeger to a best of five series of matches, all of them under various No Limit rules matches. He specifically named a scaffold match. No word yet if the promoters of Blue Collar Wrestling will sanction this series or not, but it'd be interesting if they did. We also saw the Rockefeller Foundation get disqualified against the Brandt Dynasty. Bad Blood actually put hands on Sarah Irene.
Yes, I saw that, yes. Will he be fined? That's my question.
One would hope so.
Now, Sign, there is a video of Mr. Rockefeller approaching a young Caleb Rex and offering, how should we say, a monetary prize or incentive to get rid of a thorn in their side. Can you tell our Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners who Mr. Rockefeller might have been talking about with young Caleb Rex?
I wouldn't want to speculate on the ongoing Rockefeller Foundation negotiations, but Caleb Rex has proven to be a dangerous individual in this, his rookie year, so who knows what Rockefeller has in store.
Oh, okay. I'm going to say right now, thorn in the side of Mr. Rockefeller could have been a JB Moonshine. I will send you this video of money changing hands.
All
right. Very good video.
Will you be sending the video over to BCW promoters?
Oh, no, no. I'm going to go through the back door. I may send this video to Y period, T period Jones. Yes.
Very interesting. All right.
Yes. Okay. All right. Well, that was pretty much standing room only, yes. But Sign, you know, due to circumstances beyond my control, I haven't been to Blue Collar very often, at least since this past summer. And I was very impressed with another referee that you were sharing duties with. Can you tell us about this young referee whom I haven't seen very much, but he seemed to have a lot of talent and a lot of potential.
He does. That is my younger twin brother, Jakari Dai.
Ooh, Jakari Dai. Have we ever had him on our show?
We have not. Jakari Dai, my younger twin brother, is just getting started. He is officiated in Blue Collar Wrestling for the last couple of months. On occasion, he is the sole official for the card. So he is been thrown right into the thick of things very early on, but he has been training at the Blue Collar Wrestling School for roughly about a year.
Wow. Well, for some reason, he reminds me of a young C.J. Edwards. C.J. Edwards.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Jacare Dye. I think this kid has a lot of potential.
Dye.
Maybe we can...
Dye.
Dye. What did I say, Rye?
You said Dye. His name is Jacare Dye.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. All right, no problem. Maybe we could have Jacare on, say, in very early June.
Possibly. As his twin brother, I will see if he's available.
Well, okay, that's something. Now, Sign Guy, sometimes there's competition between referees as whom is the better dancer. Are there any truth to the rumors that you plan a dance-off with Jacare at intermission? At Blue Collar.
None at this time, keeping him in mind. We are twin brothers, so we have similar dancing abilities.
Oh, okay. All right. Now, do you know if Jacare has ever traveled to Wrestle Club in Idaho? Has he ever done that?
He is not. He is strictly working for Blue Collar Wrestling at this point. He is still very, very new, so he is still in training, but due to circumstances a little bit beyond the control of the promotion and of Jacare, he was needed to officiate. So he has been working as an official on shows for the last couple of months, not yet ready to travel.
Well, he was very impressive, you know. And he doesn't seem to be intimidated by any of the wrestlers, including Bad Blood. I mean, it looks like Jacare will get in your face, and he's a strickler to detail and protocol in the ring. Sharply dressed also. Sharply dressed. I noticed that.
So you did notice his shirt was tucked.
Yeah. Yes. Also, has Jacare traveled to Roseburg like you did last week?
Well, keeping in mind, less than a minute ago, I said he has not traveled outside of Blue Collar Wrestling. The odds are very slim that he's gone to Roseburg.
There's my laser-like focus. Oh, but I know you did, Sign Guy, a week ago. Can you tell us a little bit about your road trip? That was 6 hours, or it may have been seven, getting out of Seattle. Can you tell us about the amount of time you had going down there and who the opening match was in this Roseburg setting?
It was 350 miles each way, roughly 6 hours each way. Opening match, I officiated it. It was Darkness versus Max Traeger, with Paul Freakshine in the corner of Darkness, of course.
Oh, that Darkness and his soul. Boy, I don't know about him. Every time he comes to the ring, I get a kind of a chill. Kind of like The Undertaker.
Are you saying that Darkness reminds you of The Undertaker?
Yes, that's the premise of what I'm trying to get at.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Yeah.
Now, I went to the back. I was studying the Power Pit Pro Wrestling rulebook. Since it was my first time there, I wanted to make sure I knew all of the rules. Apparently, during their Royal Rumble, that idiot Darth Carter entered it.
What?
That's what I was told. I missed it. But apparently, he attacked Big Vicious.
No, start about... Talk about picking out someone who's one of the biggest guys in the ring. Holy, yeah, there's no loss of courage in this Dark Carter. How did he do against Big Vicious in his attack?
Horribly.
Oh, okay. Well, what I've noticed about Dark Carter, he has quite a bit of talent, and there's a little bit of jealousy among some Northwest wrestlers. What some wrestlers would describe as Dark Carter being horrible is really mediocre.
Okay. Well, he did mediocrely horrible against Big Vicious then. From what I was told, I didn't see that as studying the rule book.
Oh,
which was
boy,
a really big book. It was very thick with rules. But I had to do it because I wasn't sure on a couple of the rules in that first match there. Mac Traeger really threw me off. He wanted to make it a no-rules match right off the top of the bat there, and I wasn't sure if that was allowed or not. It apparently is not. You can't just make up your own rules for the match prior to the bell ringing.
No, no, you can't. And Sign, I'm sorry that you had to drive what appears to be a little bit more than 6 hours, go to the back, study the rule book, and not to see the entrance of Darth Carter against Big V. You missed that. Boy, I myself would have paid Big V to see that. Yes.
Well, maybe sometime I'll have to go down to Roseburg. Maybe it'll pop up again.
Well, now, besides Big V and Darth Carter, who else was in that rumble?
Apparently there was another masked guy named Inazuma. Darkness tore him apart, as did Draven Vargas, apparently.
Whoa, Draven Vargas was in there, huh?
Whew. Yes,
boy.
Draven Vargas at Power Pit Pro Wrestling, a member of the Freak Show. All of the Freak Show were there, as was Bad Blood, Just Exciting, Brian Armstrong, JB Moonshine, Lone Star, and there is a brand new rookie competitor, a trainee of Power Pit Pro Wrestling School named Ryan Parker. He was very, very popular with the fans, even though it was his first night in the ring.
Ooh, Ryan Parker, huh? What is the physical size of this Ryan Parker? What's his size and weight?
Not very much. He's probably around 5'8 or 5'9, I'd say 120 pounds with his coat on and a couple of rocks in the pockets.
Uh-oh. Boy, Ryan. So what you're saying is that it might take him maybe a year or two to achieve half the size and weight of Lumberjack, who incidentally crushed the hopes and dreams of myself. There are no more heroes. Yes. Anyway, how much would
was
he
that
have
an
to gain?
Adam Reyes reference?
I think it was, yes. Adam Reyes, I give you credit. Even though Adam, you're not ranked this week.
Yes.
What about that? I don't know. I don't think. But this rookie does sound pretty interesting. That's what I'm getting at.
Well, he apparently exclusive to Power Pit Pro Wrestling at this time, so he'll have to go down there to check out Power Pit. I know he did cross paths with Inazuma a little bit as well, from what I was told.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. All right. Well, who was in the main event in Roseburg, the main event?
The Royal Rumble match.
Oh, okay. That was the main event. Okay, very good. Very good. Well, Sign, when's the next time you are going over to Wrestle Club in Idaho?
For Wrestle Club in Idaho, I just confirmed this. May 2nd will be my next appearance there at Wrestle Club. That just was confirmed last night.
Whoa, very nice. Very nice. Was there any incentive to get you back over there? Did they promise to pay for a bulletproof coffee? Bulletproof coffee.
Well, that would be nice. They have deathproof coffee there, though.
Deathproof coffee. Yes, that's what I meant. Yes. Did they offer to pay for an extra large coffee?
They didn't, but the prices there are so reasonable, it'd be a mere pittance for them.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Sangay, it does look like I have my homework assignments. I've got to get on the horn and contact Big John and see if I can do some chicken setting, kind of set up a mesh coop on my porch, then to be transferred to your porch. I've also got to go up to Snoqualmie Pass and get some spring-fed water for Bernadette and then get the cornmeal. I'm going to be very busy. how I'm going to do this and attend my shoot job, which is in 15 minutes, I just don't know.
It's going to be pushing the limits, but I think you can manage it.
Wow. Well, I did prep quite a bit for today's guest, Royce. I've got a lot of notes there. We'll have to get Royce at another date. He looks like a very promising talent. Royce.
Absolutely. He is a fine, fine competitor on the national level. Hopefully he will reschedule with us. But at QT, we did make a couple of additions to our own staff. You were busily handing out applications last week. A couple of applications came back, checked out. They were approved by Dimitri. Sunday, we will be joined by our new co-host, Randy Zellers. Randy Zellers is going to be joining us when we have Satu Jin on the show. Well, Randy will be helping us out then. And the following week, the 15th, our guest will be Scrapyard Dog, and we will be joined by another co-host. You took his application during the Sign of the Times last week. JB Moonshine will be joining us.
Wow. All right. Okay. I'll be very interested in these inaugural broadcasts. I welcome Randy to a part of the team. Now, has JB Moonshine agreed to be part of the team, or is this a special appearance?
Well, hopefully it will work out. He's agreed, as long as he's not busy with other duties, to take some occasional co-hosting gigs. So he and Randy will be part of the team. QT, try not to scare them.
I will. I've longed. It has been a 10-year run with pretty much you and I. It occurred to me that over half of my Sundays in my lifetime are now gone. My Sundays. In fact, I think over 55% of my Sundays are now gone. Hopefully, I'll look forward to about 40% more, maybe 35%. So the Sundays were kind of dwindling. It just occurred to me, like sand in an hourglass. So I thought a split approach, you know, on Sunday broadcast, a little bit less time was in order. Plus, a full-time wrestling perspective like Randy could give us might be pretty refreshing. Not that our ratings were tanking. Lots of people are still listening. Our ratings are still up. But this might even, how would you say, give a goose to our Sunday ratings. A goose.
Possibly. I can see Randy Zellers and JB Moonshine goosing things.
Yeah. Talk about that, yeah.
Now, you aren't going to be blinded by perhaps favoritism once they join the team in your top 9 7/8 wrestler rankings, are you?
Oh, no. I take great pain with these rankings. Yes, great pain to show no favoritism, none at all.
Now, QT, can we look forward to this next week's top 9 7/8 wrestler rankings on the Turnbuckle Turmoil Facebook page?
Well, I'm always going to try to take applications, yes. And, you know, our Facebook page is in there, yes. I'm pretty sure, though, that they won't be on the Facebook page of Polychromatic.
I understand that someone thought that she played the part of Punky Brewster in 1983 rather than Soleil Moon Frye, whom, in fact, did play the part of Punky Brewster in 1983.
Yes, these are questions we will have to ask her. Who is this mysterious fan holding up these signs? I myself have seen these signs. I don't think they're too bad. Apparently, Polychromatic becomes kind of enraged about them, you know, like accusing her of stealing a Polish hot dog, you know, Punky Brewster. And there was another sign that I kind of forget about. Yes. Oh, yes. Yes, it was something about Polychromatic being a character in Bob's Burgers, the animated cartoon. Yes, some character. I don't think it was Gene, though.
I see. And what did Ken Hamlin, the part-time commissioner of Northwest Pro, have to say about these signs?
Well, I think he's seen them, and I think I've seen him crack a smile. Yes.
QT, I have some Iron Buddha-level shocking news for you. Are you prepared?
Oh, yes. Let me sit down. On my one piece of furniture where I can sit down. Go ahead.
Well, apparently, Punky Brewster did not debut on television until September 16th of 1984. So, in fact, nobody was Punky Brewster in
1983. Oh, my gosh. Wow. Well, then that sign that was held up, the person holding this up should get his facts together.
You would hope so if they took the time to buy the poster board and the markers and then took the time to write this out. You'd think they would want accurate representation.
Well, maybe that's what kind of ticked off Polychromatic. Has she been? Our fans want to know if she's been rescheduled, sign. Yes.
We are working on that.
Oh, okay. Boy, we'll look forward to that. All right, well, sign, I've got to get to my straight shoot job. Yes.
All right. Well, hopefully we'll get our guest rescheduled. Not sure why he didn't make it today, but I think Lance Dean had something to do with it, QT.
Yes, that Lance Dean. He's always looking for any advantage he can take opportunity of. And if he talked to Royce today and said, you might not want to go on, I'll give you a dollar or two, much like Mr. Rockefeller did to Caleb Rex, I could see this.
It wouldn't shock me, really.
Yes. All right. Okay, sign. Well, I will get going on my straight job and taking care of Bernadette, and watch out for Randy Zeller's The Gooser.
All right. Gooser. Well, we will be with you Sunday, the debut as a co-host for Randy Zellers, and our guest then will be Satu Jin, Samoan wrestler plying his trade out of the Midwest. So make sure you have plans to be with us then. 1 week from today, Rampage Radisson will be back on the show. It's been a long time since we have him. He has a book that he wrote that is very popular, chronicling his battle with weight loss. We'll discuss that amongst a great variety of things. So make plans to be with us, and we will talk to you soon.
Tonight, turn up as much as we can, let go and hit the floor and dance.